Archbishop, good to be with you again.
Thank you. It's good to be with you as well.
We're quickly heading into Lent already. Lent 2020 is upon us. So repent, believe in the gospel. Penance is core to the season. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to go back to basics on one of those fundamental experiences of penance, which is the sacrament of penance, confession, reconciliation.
Yeah, I think that's the church's hope during Lent, that we'll go back to basics. And we do that with a great deal of hope in the feast that we'll celebrate at Easter. But first, as you say, we repent. And there'll be an opportunity in many of our parishes for us to think about it and then really plan to make use of the sacrament of penance during the coming weeks.
I was talking to a friend recently who she pointed out quite, it was actually rather poignant. She said, you know, I've been a Catholic my whole life. I've been, I'd say, pretty faithful. I've tried to be faithful. And, you know, I never really wandered from the church. But she said, I never really, after I was prepared as a child, I don't know that I've ever really revisited how to go to confession or why. So we're going to kind of go into some of those, as we mentioned, basic questions today, if that's all right.
Good. That's an opportunity for me to reflect on it, too, since I make use of the sacrament regularly, but it's a special part of my own Lenten observance.
Wonderful. Yeah. So, and we mentioned Lent. Lent happens once a year. You know, many of us may know that the church requires us to go or at least once a year to confession. So why that requirement?
So the requirement is a little more specific. So if for someone who's aware of being in the state of serious sin, there's a requirement to come to the sacrament of penance at least once during the year. So it's not an absolute requirement for everybody else, but I would really encourage us to do it. And I would encourage anyone who's been away from the sacrament for a while, but certainly if it's been a year, it's time to for this experience. You know, the Lord has established this as one of the seven sacraments. It's a particular way to encounter the risen Lord and to receive power from the Easter event that we're preparing for from his death and resurrection. Since he's providing this opportunity for us, we really, first of all, should look at it to see its importance, and then not stay away.
And that was one of the questions that's come up, well, in this conversation with this friend of mine, about what is the experience of confession, or how is it an experience of Jesus? As you just said, beautifully, I think for many of us, it can be, you know, an obligation, something we're told we should just do because, you know, you got to clean out the backseat of your car occasionally, you know, get the dirt out. Okay, so it's something we do. It's maybe a chore. It's something not pleasant. Some people have a real difficulty getting the gumption up to go and examine their conscience and all that entails. But so what you point out there, I think, is really, really important, that we often don't look at the sacrament, I think, as an experience of Jesus's power. And people often focus just on the I confess part and not on what I receive.
It's easy enough, and I think many of us have been maybe taught, maybe just this is what we picked up, that we focus on ourselves and on our shortcomings. It really is an encounter with the risen Jesus, and the more we can focus on him, the more we'll be attracted to the sacrament. It's not so good, I don't think, to picture it like a car wash or cleaning out the backseat of the car, cleaning out the garage, although that's the way many of us feel. So let me see if I can come at it from a little different way and see if it makes sense. We know in our Catholic faith that we encounter Jesus in a very personal way in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And we're aware these days that maybe belief in the real presence of the Eucharist is not as deep and as fervent and widespread as it might be. But I'm going to just presume that for a moment for all of us, that's the place where we expect that we're encountering Jesus. But I would propose that we think, especially during this Lenten season and then maybe beyond, that there's another really powerful opportunity to encounter him. And it's all for the good. When we take the opportunity during Lent, we should do it other times, to acknowledge our sins. It's not a real happy acknowledgement for most of us. That can be kind of embarrassing. I know at my age, I'm kind of just internally embarrassed and a little ashamed that some of the same things that were shortcomings for me when I was a younger man, they're still part of my life, part of my experience. I'm not proud of that at all, but it's a fact. And I do, for any of us, because our responsibilities change and our experiences change over time and through the span of life, there also are some, can be some new temptations and new challenges and maybe new ways that we fall. Thank God there's only 10 commandments for us to break. So, you know, I don't mean to be flippant about that, but so much of it is kind of a longstanding experience of just falling short, or despite all good resolution to avoid a certain sin in the future, when the opportunity presents itself, we're weak and we may give in. So the church invites us to look at that, to acknowledge our sins. We examine our conscience, examine our lives, try to take responsibility for not who we are. God makes us who we are, but who we have allowed ourselves to sort of turn into by our own selfishness and by really believing the lies of the devil and the lure of short-term pleasure. That's part of everybody's life. And so we're invited then, having recognized our sins, to not just sit there with them and to not look at our weakness in a gloomy way or a way that would, you know, lead us to think less of ourselves. It's the second part of the devil's work. You know, the first temptation is to get us to sin, and then the second temptation is to get us to think that we're worthless on account of our sins and that we're no better than the worst thing that we do or that we have even contemplated doing. So the beautiful thing about the sacrament of penance is that we come to the church with an acknowledgement of our sins, kind of embarrassing. It's sort of a tender and vulnerable moment to sort of bring that out into the open, at least in a little bit. But what do we find? We find that Jesus comes to meet us there. He comes in the person of the priest, but really, it's really Jesus. It's a different form of his presence than we experience in the Eucharist, but he's really there, sacramentally, powerfully. There it's the risen Jesus. Why does he want to be there? Well, he doesn't want to be there to embarrass us. He doesn't want to be there to punish us, to clobber us on account of our sins, to kind of bring us up short. We're capable of doing that for ourselves. But the Lord is there because it's an aspect of his saving mission that he has been given by his Heavenly Father, which continues to bring the mercy of God to us right where we need it, not just in a vague way. Jesus is the Savior of everybody. Well, of course, that's true. But Jesus desires to save you and me, and he brings that saving love, the mercy of God, into the place where we need it. And he comes there with mercy in a way that, if we let him, he reminds us not how bad we are, but how good we are. Not that we've made ourselves good, but God has created us lovingly. And when our Heavenly Father looks at us, he sees his beloved daughters and sons. And it's not God's desire that we die in our sins. It's not God's desire that we drag the sin and that the guilt of sin around with us, or that we begin to think of ourselves as no more than sort of what we settle for, the worst things that we might do. So Jesus comes to remind us of the dignities that's ours from baptism, that we have been adopted into God's family. God wants us to receive the inheritance of members of his household of faith that Jesus has won for us by his death and resurrection. The experience of the sacrament of penance then is really designed to be very positive, a very freeing, liberating moment for us. Not to say that sin doesn't make any difference, because we've already felt the difference that it makes. And other people have felt the difference that my sins make too, sad to say. But at that particular moment, Jesus desires nothing more than we be free. It's always his desire that we be more free than we've experienced in the past. Not a freedom of license, just to live it up, but the freedom to really grow into the people that we have been created to be. So we expose ourselves and become very vulnerable at that moment. We always pray for a good and understanding confessor. So Jesus is present in the person of the priest, but it's a person who has his own limitations. But by and large, I think we've all experienced that the priest wants us to know what Jesus wants us to know, that we are loved by God, and that no matter what our sins, that they're forgiven. We hope we get some encouragement there to take a step in a good direction. The penance that we receive is really just that. You know, we don't have to earn God's mercy. We don't have to get Jesus' attention by doing a big penance. He doesn't withhold his mercy to anyone who will receive it. But by agreeing to say a prayer or do an act of charity or some other practice, it's a way for us to sort of take responsibility for stepping in the direction of Jesus and of his desire for us away from our own sin and selfishness.
I can, of course, add nothing to that. But
that's what makes sense.
You know, absolutely. Absolutely. No, but just to highlight one thing that I was hearing that, I mean, among the several that, you know, listeners should go back and use that as preparation. Use that as preparation this season as you're planning out, what am I going to do for Lent? Making a good confession. I would humbly say, as the layman in the room, that has a lot of downstream effects. Typically in my life, if that has happened well and prayerfully, yes, the other penances and practices of Lent are great, but nothing is as efficacious as that sacrament. You mentioned, you know, we don't have to make ourselves good. He's made us. We've muddied our identity in our own sin and falling into the temptations of the devil. So it strikes me that that experience of the sacrament of penance is that a concrete way of practicing dependence on him. You know, just to underline that again, that we have that temptation to say, well, now I'm going to do this, and now I'm going to do better. I know, at least for myself, and I know a number of people who say, I struggle with being scrupulous, and so I'm always worried that I'm doing it, and, you know, confessing exactly the right way. And to, it's really an opportunity to go again and just dispose ourselves to Jesus, as you're saying. He's there. He's going to meet us there. You don't have to do Jesus's work for him. You have to dispose yourself to receive it.
You're exactly right. And we sometimes fall into this question that many people have, but why do I have to go to confession? Mm-hmm. Why don't I just think of my sins and tell God that I'm sorry? You should do that every day. we should absolutely do that. But the sacrament of penance and reconciliation falls under the general category, we might say, of our worship, of our liturgy. So it's really a celebration, participation in the official worship of the church, even though it's sometimes may happen in the context of a scripture service or something, but it's a very personal thing. It's designed to be a conversation between me and the confessor. But he's representing Jesus, representing the body of Jesus, the church. But really, as you said, it's a way to give honor and glory to God. And so I'm invited to worship God at that moment and to believe that that God comes to meet me in the person of Jesus Christ at that very vulnerable moment, that moment when I acknowledge my sins. But it's a worship is nothing else really than acknowledging that God is God and that I'm not. Whenever I've sinned, what I've tried to say is that I'll be God of that little portion of my life. I'll give God most of it. And on most days, I'll let God be in charge of things, and God can be in charge of the sun, the moon, and the stars, all those big things. But some of these parts of my life, I'm going to take over. And that's sin. That's what gets me in trouble. It's what hurts me, hurts others, because it's not true. It doesn't work. I'm not built that way. All creation isn't built that way for me to be in charge, even of a little portion. I'm the steward of aspects of my life, of course, where I have some responsibility that's God-given. But in terms of deciding right and wrong and deciding who really has the knowledge of good and evil, we're all called to give that to God and to do it intentionally. The celebrating the sacrament of penance and reconciliation is a moment when we do that, where I say, I'm sorry to say I've tried to be God of parts of my life and that has hurt me and hurt others, and it's been disrespectful to God and to my relationship with God. So that's part of the importance of celebrating the sacrament, of not just going to my room and shutting the door and kind of listing my sins and saying, okay, I'm sorry. Great to do that every day. But to explicitly worship God in a way that enables me to turn away from those sinful choices, that acknowledgement of my own sovereignty, even in little ways, and give that back to God. So, as you said, it bears fruit then in so many other things. I walk out of the sacrament of confession just facing in the right direction and having a clearer sense of this basic truth of God, that God is God and that I'm not. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of Mary, whose whole being and whole mission, everything that he did during his life here on earth and continues to do, is all oriented towards serving the will of the Father, which he knows perfectly is all good. And so he meets us there, again, to bring the power of God's mercy to us, to free us from the sins that have ensnared us recently, but then really to help us face in the right direction.
There are resources all over the place for, here's, you know, 25 questions to ask to prepare for confession, or, you know, here's an examination of conscience based on the Ten Commandments or whatever. But what do you suggest to us as far as the most important thing to take into that examination? Because I think that's a lot of times where people get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can seem kind of daunting. So as you say, there's a lot of materials around. You can find them on the internet, you can find them other places. So just pick one and pray with it for a while. I would say try to look ahead, plan when you might celebrate the sacrament of penance during the season of Lent. There'll be a lot of opportunities. But then take some time for some remote preparation. It doesn't take too much remote preparation. So if suddenly there's an opportunity that presents itself and you want to pop right in there, just go ahead and do it. And the priest will help you if you haven't made a real great examination of conscience. The penitential practices that we're encouraged to be involved in during the season of Lent, of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, they kind of till the soil for this, you know, and can help us get ready. Can we get out of ourselves a little bit, practice some self-discipline, offer some of our free choices to God, honor God, they're not honoring us. And I think that can help dispose us for the sacrament. My basic encouragement would be, though, to pray about it, to invite Jesus even now, today, to come into your life, to help sit with you, let you see yourself as you are, with your great dignity as a daughter or son of God, but also to see where I may be holding on to some things that are selfish or self-indulgent, willful in some way, trying to maybe pretend that God doesn't really have to be in charge of this, or that, you know, I can have an exception in my case. That's been the thinking since Adam and Eve. It's bad thinking, but we all fall into it. But really to invite the Lord into my thinking. If there's some fear about coming to the sacrament or some embarrassment, invite the Lord already and to be with us there. It really is a huge turning point, I think, in our understanding of discipleship and of the Christian life, to recognize that Jesus wants to be with us where we don't necessarily want him to be. We don't want anybody to see some of these parts of our life. We don't want to admit that we're weak or sinful. The Lord is not afraid of that. And he's, you know, I might be embarrassed, but he's not embarrassed, and he's not embarrassed about me. So to already in our prayer invite him to, you know, to come in to be with us, to help lead us to make a good and sincere confession, one that is not just complete in all the details, you know, but really that's a real act of worship, that I'm acknowledging God as my loving Father and Jesus as my Savior, and just wanting to let go of whatever it is that's keeping me from experiencing that more fully. And then I think the Lord will comfort us. He'll communicate to us his strength. He'll communicate his own intention for us to be close to him and to be forgiven. And then I think my hope is we walk in then to celebrate the sacrament with maybe a little discomfort, brought it on ourselves, but also with confidence and with great hope that this is going to be a great moment for me. I'm going to be pointing in the right direction when I come out of here. And that's what I want to be doing. That's the man I want to be.
Thank you, Archbishop, for leading us in this time as our teacher, as our shepherd. And yeah, we pray for you listeners and ask that everybody to take up this prayer and ask the Lord to get anything out of the way that might be standing between you and this experience of grace.
Yeah, and I'll count on my prayers too. Well, let's all pray for one another during this season. And I just assure you that our priests all across the archdiocese are really ready to celebrate the sacrament with as many people as we can, and to be the best instruments we can be of the Lord's presence and of his mercy at that moment.
Wonderful. Thank you, Archbishop.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice, a podcast of the Archdiocese of Omaha. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast.